That's great. Well, it's great to be here tonight. I know you've been worried from the day, and I trust that this will be an encouragement to your heart tonight. I want to bring a message about the servant of God's walk, the servant of God's walk. I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to Exodus 33 tonight. Exodus 33. My choir, you did a great job tonight. I was glad preacher said sing it again, because I was going to say sing it again, but I didn't think I had that much authority to say sing it again like he did. So, and probably you wanted him to sing it too, so that was great. Praise the Lord. Exodus 33 tonight. Servant of God and his walk. Eldon Martins made this statement. He said, God is more interested in our relationship with him than he is in our service for him. Now, unless you missed that, I'm going to say it again because I need to hear it again. God is more interested in our relationship with him than he is in our service for him. If our relationship with the Lord is right, then our service will flow from that relationship. I wrote down another quotation, and I don't know, I can't give credit for this one because I don't know where it came, but I read it sometime this year. This person that wrote it said, don't chase the spotlight. Chase after relationship. Someday you won't have a title, and the spotlight will turn to someone else. Obscurity won't matter if we have relationship. Now, that's a mouthful. Think about that one more time. Don't chase after the spotlight. Sometimes we do. You know, we want a position, we want a title, we want a place, and all of that. But the person said, chase after a relationship, because someday you won't have a title. You'll retire. You won't have that title anymore. Someday the spotlight will turn to somebody else. Might be on you today, but it'll turn to somebody else tomorrow. Obscurity won't matter. It won't matter if you're way out in Bruno or someplace that nobody knows anything about, if you have relationship. In Exodus chapter 33, we find here Moses. Moses is servant of the Lord. Hebrews tells us that he was faithful in all his house as a servant. It was the Lord's house that he was faithful in. God gave him an assignment. And we find here, this is after the golden calf incident, and God was very upset with the children of Israel for what they'd done. Matter of fact, the tabernacle itself hadn't even been built yet, but Moses' tent became the tabernacle. And I want you to see what Moses did. The Bible says here in verse number 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now that is something right there. As a man speaketh unto his friend. God had a relationship with Moses. The Lord desires a relationship with you and me. And I'm talking about, salvation is just the start. Salvation is just the beginning. God desires a relationship, a walk with you. He desires a walk with me. And he wants that. And, salvation is just the beginning, and our lives will show the quality of that relationship. How close we are with God, that relationship will show on us. If we're walking close to God, that relationship will show. It will evidence itself in your life. And if you're not walking close with God, it too will show. It'll show on you. I can't help but think about young people when they go to college. They meet that wonderful man or that wonderful young lady. And, the more time they spend together, it shows, doesn't it? It's obvious that they're in like. Or I didn't say love because they're not in love yet. That's just the beginning. But they're in like. And when he calls home, he says, "Mom, I met this wonderful lady. I met this wonderful girl." And she might say the same thing about him. You know, it begins to show, doesn't it? Things that she didn't care about before, she cares about now. Things that he didn't care about before, Brother Tell, he tells me, I'm telling tales on you, but you've told this before in Bible Institute. When he met Miss Tully, the only thing that he used to iron was this part of his shirt. He didn't worry about the rest of it, but he cared about that part of his shirt. He wore a jacket over the rest of it. But he began to care, I'm sure, more about the rest of your shirt. You know, once he took that jacket off, it began to show on him because of that relationship. You know, and if our walk is not right with the Lord, our lives will be much different from what we expected it to be. You know, I read this story about a young man who loved marshmallows. And that young man, I mean, he loved marshmallows. Not those just little tiny ones. Not the ones you have at a weenie roast. I'm talking about those big, major size marshmallows. Have you seen those? Yeah, boy. If you want to play chubby bunny with those, you can't get but two or three in your mouth on those marshmallows. But this guy was a fanatic about marshmallows. He even had marshmallow cream on his food, morning, noon, and night. He was a marshmallow fanatic. Well, this fellow went to sleep one time and he dreamed about marshmallows, huge marshmallows, major size marshmallows, big ones. I mean, they were so huge, he decided, well, I guess I've got to eat them. So he, to the best of his ability, stuffed those things into his mouth. When he woke up in the morning, that wonderful dream he had about marshmallows ended up being his two feather pillows. His dream turned into a nightmare, didn't it? And you know what? We don't want to wake up someday. You don't want to wake up some morning and dreaming of the great blessings of God on your life to find out that it's just a nightmare because you didn't walk with God. You wanted a relationship with God. You wanted His blessings on your life, but you find out that it just didn't happen because you and I didn't take time to walk with God. He wants a relationship with you. The Bible tells us to sow to ourselves in righteousness. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7 and 8 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap what? Corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting." There's another verse that I think is its companion in the Bible. It's in Job and it's chapter number 6. Chapter number 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Even as I have seen, that they that sow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." If you plow iniquity and you sow wickedness, you're going to reap the same thing. What you sow, you're going to reap. If you want the God's blessings on your life, if you want a relationship, a deep, abiding relationship with Him, then you have to sow in righteousness. You have to walk the same way that He walks. You know, we can't sow wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. God, don't let it happen. I mean, if you're going to have a righteous life and you want God's blessing, then you must sow in righteousness. Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12, tells us to sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You see, the amount that we sow in righteousness will be the proportion to which we reap in righteousness. And you remember, you always sow, but you always reap more, right? We understand that. We live in the country. You sow righteousness, you're going to reap righteousness. You sow iniquity, you're going to reap iniquity. And you'll reap more than what you sow. But can I tell you, can I say this tonight? You must sow more righteousness. It's imperative. Because the next life is all about righteousness. It's all about living righteously. It's all about holiness. It is, believe me. Because in that new heaven and new earth, there is no iniquity. There is no sin. So it's best to sow righteously now. Brother Parker reminded us a couple Sundays ago about sowing, about thinking about eternity. And you do that now, you sow righteously now because there's going to be a bountiful harvest. You see, the Lord desires us to spend time with Him in fellowship as we develop as believers. As we grow, our relationship ought to get closer to Him. We ought to know Him better than we did the first day we got saved. I'm glad He's my Savior, but I'm glad He's my Lord. I'm glad He's my Redeemer. I'm glad He's my satisfaction. I'm glad for those things. And you learn that. Now, you know, from the Scriptures, I think we see that two themes emerge concerning fellowship with God. The first one is that God walked with man before the fall. God walked with man before the fall. In Genesis chapter number 2 and in verse number 7, the Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, we differ from the rest of creation that God made. The angels are spirits. They're flames of fire, the Bible tells us. And they, I think, picture God's spirit part. But we picture His divinity, His tripartness. He has triparts. And so we are that way. And the Bible tells us in chapter 3 that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, that garden that God prepared for them was the best garden that God ever made. Everything He made was good. Everything in it was good. The Bible tells us that God came walking, His voice came walking in the cool of the evening. Or it says in the cool of the day. It didn't say the cool. But I think there's two times when God came walking because He enjoyed fellowship with man. One is in the morning. That's when we find it to be cool. Now, I don't know about that first earth that God created, because this one is radically different than that first one. You understand that, right? We're living in the second earth. He's going to make it over again, and there'll be a third one He's going to make again. But the Bible tells us that He came walking. The voice of God came walking. He came in the cool, and He had fellowship with man. He enjoyed fellowship with Adam and Eve, or their names were Adams's, the Adams. He called their name Adam. Adam called his wife Eve. But He had fellowship with them. He enjoyed fellowship with them. But then we know that man chose to disobey. Man chose to eat the fruit that God told him not to eat of. And we know that when he did that, it broke fellowship with God. God could not come and enjoy fellowship with mankind. But we also know that God provided for that before the foundation of the world. God, who is higher and knows much more than you and I do, He already knew what man was going to do. And He provided for that. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 3, the last part of it, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. He talks about in the first part of that verse about entering into His rest. There's a rest for the people of God. He said all that was finished before the foundation of the world. And so God walked with man before the fall. And God had already provided a way whereby man could walk with God again. And that was through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number, I didn't write it down here. It's Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. The Bible says, wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And that theme goes all the way through Scripture. It starts in Genesis 3:15 and goes all the way to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible tells us it goes all the way to Revelation. It talks about in Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And come, come, come. Jesus has provided a way whereby we can have fellowship with Him again. And it's through Jesus Christ, His Son. I can have fellowship with Him. It was broken in the fall, but it was restored through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, and through His blood. You see, that's what God wants for us. And so all men of all strata, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, you can have fellowship with God. And it's through the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's the way we can have it. And so this phrase of walking with God are not just empty words. God wants you and me to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants a relationship with us. I don't understand that, but I'm so glad that He has done that for me. I'm so glad that He, before the foundation of the world, He chose me in Christ Jesus. I don't understand it, but that's what the book says. Amen? Amen. He knew the choice that I would make, and He said, that's a good choice. I'm so glad He did. So I can have fellowship with Him. I can have walk with Him. I can have a relationship with Him. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is seeking for people to have a relationship. Turn in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In this chapter, we see here, in the chapter before, we find a king by the name of Asa. And the Spirit of God comes upon a prophet. His name is Oded. And Oded said to Asa, he said, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. If ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And the Bible tells us that Asa did that, and God blessed him abundantly. You see, if you sow in righteousness, if you do right, and you follow after the Lord, you seek the Lord with all your heart, the blessing of God will find you. It will overtake you. That's what we're talking about tonight, a relationship with God. Sow right, you reap much more than what you sow. But Asa, of course, in chapter 16, forgot that. He didn't trust in the Lord. He trusted in riches. He trusted by sight. And he took things that belonged to God and gave it to a pagan king so he would get people off his back. And the Bible tells us this in chapter 16, in verse number 9, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. So you see, God is seeking for people who have a perfect heart to walk with Him. Now the Bible tells us that in order to walk with God, we have to have a pure heart. Because the pure in heart, what do? They see God, don't they? And so that's a pure heart. So God is looking for people to walk with Him. Can I ask you tonight, how's your walk with God? How's your relationship with God? Is it what it ought to be? Now, you know, as I think about that, and I think of my own relationship with the Lord, I say, as probably most of you would say, it could be better. It ought to be better. It should be. It ought to be. If I've been saved as long as I have, it ought to be better. But we all understand that it takes time to develop a relationship. It takes time to walk with the Lord, doesn't it? And so He says, God's with you. He's going to show you Himself strong on your behalf if you're walking with Him. But notice the second part of the verse. The second part of that says, herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. You know what? I think we can conclude from this is that the reason for conflicts and turmoil in our life is because we don't walk with God. Can I say that again? The reason why we have turmoil and conflict in our life so much is because we're not walking with God like we ought to. The relationship isn't there as it ought to be. How's your life tonight? How's your relationship? You know, when I'm not walking with God, when I'm not walking with Him, then I'm going to have trouble in my life. You know, there's certain men in the Bible that God called to walk with Him, and He invites you and me to walk with Him. You know, there's three people that I think of that walked with God. One was Abraham. Abraham was in a pagan city called Ur of the Chaldees. It was a city that was totally given over to idol worship. They worshipped Ur-Nammu, the moon god. And God came into that situation and He said to Abraham, leave this place, leave your family and go to a place that I've called you to. I'm going to show you, leave it. Well, you know, and I do, if you read your Bible, He didn't go that far. He went to Haran with his daddy and his his nephew and his brother, I guess it was his brother, and went there. And the Bible tells us that after a while, daddy died, and God came to him a second time. He said, leave this place, get out of here, go to a land that I will show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You see, if you're going to walk with God, you got to have that relationship. And then when you have that relationship, there's blessings that will overtake you. But you got to do it by faith. And so he did this. He walked across a heated desert to walk with God. It's not easy to walk with God. There's some difficulties in it, but the end result you can live with. Another man that walked with God is, of course, Moses. We looked at Moses here. Moses walked with God. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Moses walked by faith. He walked in obedience to God. There came a time in his life when he's 40 years old, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. What does that tell me? He had a relationship with this God. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what he did. He had a relationship with God. And the Bible tells us that God was able to keep him faithful as a servant. How is he able to do that? Because he walked with God. He had a face-to-face relationship with God, and God blessed him. Another man that I think of, and probably you did too, is that of Enoch. The name Enoch means dedicated. Enoch's name means dedicated. And Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24 tells us that he walked with God for 300 years. You remember his son's name was Methuselah. He had Methuselah when he was 65 years old. Wow. Wow. Some of you say, yeah, boy, that's old. But back then, it was nothing. I mean, you could have kids at 65 and you still felt real well. But something that's interesting about that is the Bible tells us that from that point at 65, he walked with God for 300 years. Now, think about that. The Bible tells me that he walked with God for 300 years. You know, in some ways, I'm glad I live on this side when life's a little bit shorter. You know what I mean? I mean, I can walk with God 60 years, but 300 years? There was something special about that relationship that he had. And the Bible tells us that one day he was not, for God took him. He translated him. He was changed quickly. An example of what will happen to you and me, we'll be transformed. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so that we can walk with him personally, and we can see him and walk with him. We can behold his face. You know what? Just as a sidelight, I thought about his face for just a minute. The Bible tells us in Revelation, we'll see his face. I think it's more than just features there, Brother Tully. I think there's so much more. Have you thought about that? He's light, but there's so much in that face. When you look in a person's eyes, you see into their soul. When you look in his eyes, oh my, what will you see? It'll be wonderful, won't it? It will understand a whole lot more, and there'll be so many more questions when we see his face. Because you can't understand infinity. And that's what he is. Oh, we'll have as he is, so will we be, 1 John tells us. But it'll only be so much of him. And he wants to have a walk with you. And Enoch had a walk with God, and he was not, for God took him. He took him home. So what does it mean to walk with God? What are some marks of people that walk with God? I've got just a few here tonight. The first thing that a requirement of walking with God is that, number one, we have to be in agreement with him. Amos 3:3 tells us, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Yeah. You got to be agreed or you're not going to be able to walk together. To walk with God, we got to be in agreement with him. And the fact of the matter is, we got to be on his page. Hello, we got to be on his page. Now, I know in this room, there are, 100 different opinions, right? I mean, when you get people together, especially you get a husband and wife together, there definitely are different opinions. We know that. You can say amen right there. I know she's doing this to you already, but yeah, there's different opinions. When you got a room full of guys together, there are a lot of opinions. But the fact of the matter is, your opinion and my opinion does not matter one iota, but his does. And I better be in agreement with him. Can you walk together except you be agreed? Agreed. You know, when I think about that, I'm thinking about, walking down the aisle together. Especially maybe, a fellow's going to marry this lady, and they get married, and she decides she's going to go that way down the aisle, and he decides he's going to go this way down the aisle. And you'd look at it and say, whoa, boy, they're going to have a long, hard marriage because they're not in agreement about which aisle to take. What else is going to be? There's going to be some trouble there. And the fact of the matter is, I've got to walk with God. I have to be in agreement with him because I can't walk with him without being in agreement. And the Bible tells us that we can't have our opinions. We must have his opinion, and his opinion is right here in this book. The Word of God, that's his opinion. And to be in agreement with God, I must love his Word, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119. 176 verses all talk about loving God's Word. Do you love the Word? Do you love the Word of God? If you do, it's going to show. The fact of the matter is, if you love this book, you're going to cut some sleep in the morning so you can get up and be in this book. Hello? Because I want to know what he has to say. I can't make it without him. If I love this book, I'm going to speak about this book. It's his word is going to be on my lips. I'm going to have the language of Scripture instead of the language of the world on my lips. It shows if I'm sowing righteousness or if I'm not. Amen? Or oh me. It's going to be on my lips. And I love God's Word. You see, when I take time to diligently read and study the Word, I'm going to find something in my life. But he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Yes, I'm walking in agreement with him. There's some prospering, not only in this life, but especially in eternity, in the life to come. Because this is not all there is. There's more to come. So I want to walk in agreement with him. I want to be on his page. It doesn't matter about my opinion, your opinion, somebody else's opinion. What does God say? And if I'm going to have a relationship and a walk with him, I'm going to have to walk in agreement with him. But not only that, walking with God also requires faithfulness. Faithfulness. I've already mentioned Enoch. And when I think about his relationship, you know, the Bible says that for 300 years they walked year after year after year after year. I can't imagine that. Can you? Enoch walked faithfully with God. And there's something to be said about couples in our day and time who've been married 40, 50, 60 years. There's something to be said about that. And that's still a good thing. And when you say I do, it's for life. I do. But you know what? There's sometimes, even in a relationship with a husband and wife, that there's some disagreement, some maybe a little separation, right? And you know what? When there's separation between you and God, guess what? It's not God that moved. You moved and I moved. We're not being faithful. You know, I've had times in my life, and maybe you have too, when I've been really close to the Lord. I mean, sometimes I'll go out in the woods and I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, I don't ever want to lose this relationship. I don't want to lose this closeness. I mean, it seems like he's just so close. Have you had a relationship with the Lord like that? Is your relationship with the Lord like that? He's just so close. And I think that's what the songwriter said. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me, you're mine. Yeah. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's what Lord wants with us. He wants that faithfulness with us. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes it's not there. And it's not because he moved. It's because you and I moved. I moved. And when we find ourselves separated from God, it's because we are the unstable ones. We are the ones who are drawn away by our designer lust that's in our heart and enticed. And all too often, we allow people, we allow circumstances, we allow things to draw us away from God. Now listen, instead of pushing us toward him, we allow the busyness of life to say, well, I just don't have time. So it pushes God away from us instead of saying, oh, I have so much to do. I have to get up earlier to spend time with God. I don't know about you, but it seems as if our life is getting more complicated and more busy all the time. Is yours? Oh, it's not. Wow. This is amazing. And my wife tells me, you add two more grandkids to this and it's going to get worse. Hallelujah. Wow. This is great. So some of the Puritan writers said they had so much to do that they had to get up earlier to spend time with God. Now, we all know that old people sleep a little, don't they? They wake up at the sound of a bird, right? So that means the older I get, I can go on less sleep so I can spend more time with the Word of God. I can tell we're not getting very far tonight. Relationship. What I love, I want to spend time with, right? There were times when I was in college, when I was in love with this young lady, and I still am. Notice I said, young lady, making her feel good. When I would, man, I would cut meals. I would get myself done early. I would, so I could spend the entire Sunday afternoon up to the very last second when I had to rush out the door and change and run down to the usher with her. Why? Because I was crazy. No. Yeah, I was crazy in love with her. Right? And the same thing is true about any relationship. When you want, when you love somebody, you spend time with them. If I love God, then I'm going to spend time with him. And I'm going to be very covetous of that time. Huh? Amen, brother. I'm going to be covetous of that time. I'm not going to let some idol come in and take this time. Because I love God. And I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful in my walk with him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the faithful one, Jesus. Lest you be faint and weary in your minds. Oh, it's just too hard. Hey, look at Jesus. Do you think it was easy for him being down here with sinners? And he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. But he stayed faithful. He'd get up early. Oh, Father, I have to spend time with you. We need to choose these 12 men. One's a devil. Oh, I need time with you. And the disciples would get up late, like most people do. Where's Jesus? And after a few years, I'm sure they figured out, I bet he's praying. I bet he's talking to his Father. Huh? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says, and this man is worthy of much more glory than that of Moses. Why? Because he was faithful. As a son over his house. Whose house are we? Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope, steadfast unto the end. Hey. There's something about faithfulness. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be faithful to him for the long haul. The word patience, literally in that verse, means endurance. Keep on keeping on. To walk with God, you've got to be faithful for the long haul. All the way through. Till you die. You don't quit. Walking with God also requires fellowship. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says here, John does under inspiration, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we, what does it say? Lie and do not the truth. So the Bible tells us if we're going to develop a walk with God, we have to have light walking, not dark walking. We have to walk in the light. And you and I cannot walk with God and walk in darkness. Because when we do, we take his name in vain. And the Bible tells us not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You see, the fact of the matter is, you can not take God's name in vain with your lips, but you sure can with your life. When you walk in darkness, and that needs to be preached a little bit heavy in these days, because we have a lot of Christians that think they can say they're on their way to heaven and walk in darkness and say, I have great fellowship with God. And the fact of the matter is, there is no fellowship. None. You can't walk in darkness and walk with God. Why? Because the Bible says he is what? Light. Which no man can approach unto except he be in Christ Jesus. He can approach that light through the Son. But we need to walk in the light. Walk with God in the light. And the Bible says walking in the light is walking by faith. Walking by belief. I believe something. And it changes my behavior. Changes my life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New, change, different. Amen? And somehow this generation just does not get that. They can live polluted and I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. Yeah, you may be saved, but you get there by the skin of your teeth and you'll be sorry. I remember that old bald head preacher. I'm almost there. Glory to God. And he said, you'll be sorry. You should have and you could have, but you wouldn't. You'll be sorry. You could have walked with God, but you thought, nah, that's for later. But later comes faster than what you know. I know you don't believe that right now. I didn't believe it. But I turned around, and I'm going to be 53 this year. And by the way, I'm officially almost old now. It comes faster than what you think. Thank you. It does. I mean, I was young when I came here. I was in my 20s. Wow, that's young. I know. And now some of my students that were younger than me are older. Brian, Sarah, they're old now. Oh, my. Well, they don't have grandkids yet. You're not old yet. All right, sorry. But it happens. It happens faster than what you think. So when's the time you're to walk with God? Now! Remember? Now! Thy creator in the days of thy youth. Before those, those days come. And they'll come, Travis, they'll come. You'll be, what was that? I used to be able to run. Yeah, it won't be Playground City anymore for you, buddy. So enjoy it now. So walk with God now. And the people that did reaped blessings. Samuel did. Samuel. God spoke to a young boy. Wow. Why? Because in the midst of a polluted family, he said, I'm going to walk with God. Huh? And he reaped a blessing because of that. Let me go on. Walking with God requires separation too. Now, before you throw up a wall and say, oh, this is a separation message, it's not. But I want to show you something that I think will help you. Why do we preach separation? Why do we believe in separation? Why do we want to practice separation? Number one, we want to walk with God, but there's another reason too. And it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Go back with me to Genesis 35. Genesis 35. Does God change? No, he doesn't. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. Yes. He's separated from iniquity, separated from unholy things. He's separated. In Genesis 35, the Bible's talking here about Jacob. God told Jacob, he said, I want you to go back to Bethel. Okay? And look here in verse number 1. The Bible says, and God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Now, the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about the same thing. All right, now let's continue on. Why does Jacob tell him to do that? He says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Oh, must have been they were wearing worldly garments too. And the Bible says, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Okay, so they put away all the strange stuff. He said, it's time to separate ourselves from anything that looks like the world. Anything that's worldly, any other God. There's only one God now. You put those, I'm going to take all those and I'm going to bury these under the tree here. Now when he did that, notice what the Bible says happened then. Here's the blessing. And they journeyed, verse number 5, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us if we're going to have a meaningful walk with God, there must be a separation from idols also. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 21 tells us to keep ourselves from idols. Now, one of the big idols today is that idol of covetousness. Listen to me as I read Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So if you want the Bible definition of what idolatry is in our time, in the New Testament, I'm not talking about the Old Testament, I'm talking about the New Testament, it is covetousness. What is it? What is covetousness? I'm not satisfied with God. I need something else. When the fact of the matter is, God's given you everything and me everything that I need to do His will right now. The Bible says, and let your conversation be without covetousness. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. You see, when I separate myself even from idols, and I live a godly and holy life, not so that people will say, wow, he's an independent fundamentalist and he doesn't believe in that and that and that and he can't do this and this and this. Fooey on that. It's about relationship. Why don't I go to movies? Why don't I watch R-rated? Why don't I? Because it's about purity and relationship. Hello? We forgot that. If I'm going to walk with God, there's some things that have to go. And I don't have to name all of those tonight because you know what they are. The Holy Spirit's already walked down, not these aisles, but in your heart and said, hey, that needs to go. Oh, he doesn't do it because he's mean? Because he wants to make our life so boring? The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, pleasures, how long? Forevermore. You know what? This generation is the saddest generation you've ever seen. I mean, I should put a big mirror up here. I know you're tired of preaching anyway. But if you were to look at your face, most of you, except Travis, he did smile once. Okay? Most of us, we're so sad. We're so wore out. You know why? Because maybe we don't have a walk, a relationship. Have any of you ever had a time when you walked with God and he did visit you?
Yes.
And the joy in that meeting, you laughed, you cried, and said, Lord, this is so good. I don't want it to ever go, but it does. But it's not because he makes it go, it's because I got out of the place, remember? I stopped walking the way I should have walked, right? He doesn't move, I move. Draw nigh to God and he will what? Draw nigh to you. If I don't draw nigh to him, is he going to move close to me? No. So biblical separation is a big deal. It really is. It's a very big deal. If I'm going to walk with God and I want to know his presence and I want his joy to fill my life, And I want his presence on my life. Because you know what? The quality of your relationship will show. It'll show. It'll show in your countenance. And most people today, even church folks, have dark countenance. Why? Because they're in the things of the world. They're more face-to-face with the world than they are face-to-face as Moses. God talked to Moses face-to-face. You know why? Let me just meddle a little bit more. Can I do that? All right. You know why Facebook is such a great thing? Because you can hide back there and be a hypocrite. Well, you can be one thing and you can be something else in real life. You know, some people get nervous when you look at them face to face and you look at their eyes. You know, when I talk to people, I try to look them in the eye. I hate people that are doing this all the time when they're talking to me. That means they're busy. They're sending off busy signals. They look at you face to face. God did that with Moses face to face. Wow. What about you? Do you do a face to face? The Bible says that glory was to be done away. Moses' glory passed. But our glory, by the Spirit of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what changes me into his image so I can behold his face and it shows on me that glory? And when we don't, it shows. You want to have a relationship with God? You want to walk with God? There's some marks. You've got to be in agreement with him. You've got to be separated. But it's worth it. It is worth it. And can I say this as far as the last point? Walking with God requires confidence in him. You know, the longer we walk with God, the more confident we ought to be with him. We trust him. Jesus even said that. He says in Hebrews, I think it was chapter 2, and I can't tell you the verse, but he talks about singing praise to him in the church, and he says, and again I put my trust in him. And again, I and the children which God hath given me. So Jesus trusted in God. And I'm going to have great confidence in him. The psalmist talk about that in Psalm 23, verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thou art with me. And he talks about his rod and his staff comforting him. He knows. He has a relationship with the Lord. And so he says, you know, he wants to walk with us. He doesn't leave us, but we sometimes leave him. So as we learn to walk with God, the measure of our confidence comes in our walk with him. Over time, through trials that he sends into our lives, gives him an opportunity to show himself real on our behalf. The trials I told the fellows and girls today about, people that have cancer, you know, sometimes there's Christians that get cancer and their walk with God goes, forget it. Why did God do this to me? But there's other people, they get better. And the relationship gets closer and they know God better through the cancer or through the trial or whatever it is. And the relationship grows with them. They have more confidence in him and they tell others about it. They glorify God. That's the way it ought to be because we have confidence. He knows what he's doing. There's nothing that comes into your life or my life that doesn't come through his hand first. He knows. And he knows that we need to be purified. And normally, we don't want to purify ourselves. So he's got to send something to purify us and get us ready for glory. That's why he does it. And the Bible tells us, I like this song that the choir sings, you know. The Bible didn't say it, but the song is, even in the valley, God is good. How do I know that? Because I've trusted him. Though I can't see, though I don't understand. And there's times like that. Fellas, let me just tell you. The older you get, there's so some things that God's going to put in your life that you are not going to understand at all. And you're going to say, God, explain this to me, kind of like Job did, and he won't. But you better trust him anyway, that he knows what's best. Because it's going to come. The longer you live, there's going to be things you won't understand, and you'll want an explanation, and God just is silent. But you trust him anyway, and you stay faithful anyway, because you want to walk with him. And he may not tell you, but the other end of it, when you get through it, whew, the blessings, because you were just faithful to walk with him when you couldn't see, because you got confidence in him. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best. So God wants you and me to walk with him. In the beginning, God made us for fellowship, didn't he? And God walked with man. When it was broken, then God restored the fellowship, and that way of restoration was through his son, Jesus Christ. I would venture to say most of us in this room, just church folks, we have that relationship. We're saved and born again. But how's the relationship going? How is it going? You know, several years ago, there was a husband and wife that lived up in St. Louis. And I remember this about it. They lived in the same house, and it was about a week or so later that she discovered that he was dead. They lived in the same house, but they didn't have relationship. They didn't talk to each other. You know, the fact of the matter is, you can have a relationship, but how's your fellowship? Are you walking with the Lord? Do you spend time with him? Is it your first priority to have a relationship with him, to walk with him? Maybe it's not as it ought to be, and I think we all have room to grow. So why don't tonight you take the first step? Okay, I'm going to do this. There's things I have to get rid of, some idols that the Holy Spirit spoke to me about, and I got to go. Everybody else may, but I can't if I want to walk with God. I got to put this away. Maybe it's just a priority of I haven't been getting up early. I'm going to set my clock up earlier and get up earlier to spend time in that book. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, just start reading or ask Brother Parker or someone. We'll get you a schedule or get you something. There's so many tools out there in America that we have to study God's word. We have no excuse for not knowing that book. And then some of you need to step it up a little more. You need to start memorizing the word of God. You haven't done it. You say you love it, but you haven't memorized it. You're not memorizing the word of God. You love it. You walk with him. You know, when I would write her notes, I'm sure she'd look at them again, I hope. She'd look at them again. She'd repeat some. She'd read them again. She'd tell her mom about, Scott said this or whatever. Hey, it ought to be the same way with him. God said this. Isn't this wonderful? Look at this. You know, it's great. You say, man, I'm too old. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because your relationship, and I'm going to go back to that, and I'm done. The statement that I made at the beginning was, God is more interested in our relationship with him than he is in our service for him. And don't chase the spotlight. Chase after relationship. Someday you won't have a title, and the spotlight will turn to somebody else. Obscurity won't matter if you have relationship. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, to the best of my ability, I have tried to do what I felt you've asked me to do tonight. I thank you for these people. They are your people. They are sheep of your pasture. And Lord, I think we all would honestly say that, oh Lord, I need to love you more. If you were to come to me or any of us like you did to Peter, Peter, do you love me? If you'd ask me that, or us tonight, could we honestly say, Lord, I do agape you? Or would we have to say, I phileo you, I like you, but we don't really love you? Father, Holy Spirit, would you purify our hearts? Would you purify our hearts? Your word purifies our heart. And I pray that we'd be obedient to the word for which your Holy Spirit's brought to our attention tonight. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name.